Amen, boy. I pastor the Hatch Hollow Baptist Church up around Erie, Pennsylvania, which is about 20 miles outside of Erie. And I was telling Brother Carter today that I pastor the largest church in Hatch Hollow, but it's the only one. So, you know, I'm way ahead of my time. Amen. We're out in a little bit of community that folks just love the Lord out there and been able to see it work being done. But before I read that, before I get into my message, I think about the Stoddard kids, and I know them so well. And there they are over there. I couldn't find them there. But I remember about the time every one of them were born, just about, except for Mary Kay. When preacher came, he already had Mary Kay. But all the other ones, I was around when they were all born, and so they're precious to me. They really are. And I want to share a verse of scripture with you about Brother Stoddard that I meant to do today and I forgot to, but I want to give it to you tonight. In Revelation, and Brother Carter was hinting to it right there, in Revelation chapter number 14, verse 13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me," this is John now, and he says, "Write." But he says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Amen. And it's nice to know that God's work is being followed by the principles that were laid down by Brother Vic Stoddard. What a precious friend he is to me, and I thank God for him. He said, Brother Carter said, "You're going to have kind of a small crowd tonight, but I've never preached to a crowd this big. Love to have you all come to Hatch Hollow. I'll tell you what, I don't know where we'd put you, but I'd love to have you come. Boy, I'll tell you what, we appreciate you all, though." Let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to meet with God's people here in Haines City, Florida, Landmark Baptist Church, and Brother Mickey Carter and the whole group here. Lord, it's such a blessing to be around them. And Lord, it's such a blessing to feel their kindred spirits. And Father, I pray tonight that you might use the things a little bit, Father, what I would have to say tonight. Father, I pray that the folks here tonight would open their hearts and open their ears, Lord, and receive what God has for them tonight. Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Have your Bibles tonight. I'd have you turn to Acts chapter number 8, and I'll begin reading right there up around verse number 26. And as you're looking for that, let me ask you this question. How many folks would say, "Preacher, without a shadow of doubt, I know I'm saved"? I'd raise my hand. I know I'm saved. A lot of people right here can make a claim to that. Amen. So that means each and every one of you folks have a story about the day you got saved. Amen. Boy, what an exciting time. It would be fun just to sit and listen to all the ways all the folks here got saved. Amen. It'd be a wonderful thing to listen to. But here's a place in the scripture that I'm sure you've heard many, many times over about the Ethiopian eunuch when he's come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I want to read that for you real quick tonight, and then I want to give you my salvation experience to you tonight. Let's read, if you would, please. It says here in verse number 26 of chapter 8 of Acts, that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and that had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to his chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and saith, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at some scripture, at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that's when he got saved. Amen. What a wonderful thing. It goes on and says this, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it causes you to rejoice. Amen. And if you really get what God has for you, when you ask Christ to save you, there's usually a change in your life. And I get worried about some of the folks that make a claim that they're saved, they're on their way to heaven, and you don't see no change in their lives. Hey, listen, my experience I want to share with you. My people at Hatch Hollow probably get tired of it, but I'd love to tell my salvation experience. I read down through the book of Acts here about Paul. You know, I see about three or four times where he retells his story again, how he got saved. And so that tells me it's good to tell about what happened to me one day. Hey, listen, if I would have never got saved, I wouldn't have nothing to glory in. Amen. It's all what Jesus did. One day back in about 1959, I was going to a Southern Baptist church. Please forgive me, Brother Carter. Okay. We were just kids, though. But back in 1959, you know, you could still hear pretty good gospel being preached in an old Southern Baptist church back them days. By a man by the name of Reverend Johnson was our pastor at the time, a wonderful man of God that he is. And I don't know whatever happened to him, but I know he was from down south this way, but he was all the way up in Erie and had started the old Westlake Baptist Church. And right about this time of the year, late October, early November, I had had the opportunity to be listening to the preacher preach. And you know, at 9 years old, I had an awful rough, ragged life out in sin, you know. You don't believe that, do you, at 9 years old? No, not really. But you know what? I told lies, and I needed a Savior. Amen. I wasn't out robbing or anything like that, but I did steal a piece of bubble gum one time. I do remember doing that too. And so I was a sinner, and I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. And at 9 years old, I realized the fact that I was lost without Christ, and I was going to an awful place called hell, and I did not want to go there. And so I listened to the preacher preach. And, oh, God got a hold of my heart. You know how that works when the Holy Spirit starts working in a person's heart? Can't hardly sit still. And I sat about halfway back from the auditorium. My mom and dad, that was my mom and dad, and we had 11 of us all in the family, 9 kids and mom and dad. We pretty much could fill up a pew, amen? And I'll tell you what, I was excited that day when I heard the gospel. And God was drawing me to him. And when that happened, I'll tell you what happened with me. I was stuck between my brother, my oldest brother, and my oldest sister. And there was a thing that we would do. Now, it was all the kids. Some of the kids are still in here. But you know, there was a thing that we would do right after church. After the preacher said amen, boy, we'd all run out to the parking lot and play in the parking lot because we knew mom and dad would be fellowshipping and things, and we'd have fun outside with all the kids. And so that's what we did. And my brother knew that's what I was wanting to do too. But you know, when when he got done preaching, and we were singing, "Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." I couldn't wait to get to the altar. Amen. But I had this problem. As I tried to leave to get out from next to my brother, he looked down at me with glaring eyes and just shook his head no. He had his hands up on the pulpit ahead of us, and he just looked at me like this and shook his head, "No way, you're not getting out." But in my heart, there was a tugging going on. I knew I wanted to get saved that day. And so I looked at my sister and bumped her arm. I said, "Let me out, I want to go forward." She looked down at me with them glaring eyes over there from that side. "You ain't going nowhere. You sit still till the service is over." I was welling up inside. My heart and my eyes were letting tears down. And I thought to myself, how in the world am I ever going to get saved? But God did a wonderful thing for me that day. He caused a disturbance in the back of the church. And my brother made the mistake of turning back to see what it was. And the Holy Spirit nudged me like this. "This is your chance." And then out I went. I went out, and when he turned around and saw me going, he was reaching for me, trying to grab me. But I felt like a bird out of prison. And I made my way up to the altar here. And I stood there before the preacher. And the preacher said, "What'd you come forward for, Kenny?" I said, "Man, I don't want to go to an awful place called hell like you were preaching about. I want to go to heaven." And gracefully, he led me to Christ. Amen. Amen. And took me down through the scriptures and showed me how to be saved. And boy, you know what? That's been 53 years ago. Amen. And I get so excited about it sometimes. I feel like it just happened yesterday. Because that's how real God really is to me. Amen. I love what he did for me on Calvary's cross. Man, he loved me that much. Amen. And I'm glad that he did. And listen, there's a few things I just give you here quickly. And I don't want to hold you a long time. But there's a few things I want to tell you about. Listen, way back before time ever got started. Before God ever created the heavens and the earth. He had a plan. You understand? He had a plan because he knew man, once he got that thing going and man come along, he knew that man was going to fall. And he also, with knowing these thoughts in his mind, what God went and did was made up a plan called salvation's plan. Aren't you glad he made up that plan one day? Man, he made up a plan for you and I to make sure we can get a way to get to heaven one day.
Amen.
And as I read God's word, I see lots of things in God's word, but I only see one plan to ever get to heaven. There's no other way there except through Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Praise God for what he did. But you know, God thought up a plan, and I like that. And you know, one day he took that plan and showed it to his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus looked that plan over. You know what he said? Looked at his father. He said, "I'll buy that plan right there. I'll pay for it myself." And boy, did he ever. Went to Calvary's cross. Had nails driven into his hands and side, or his feet. His side was riven with a spear. Crown of thorns placed upon his head. Not placed upon his head, but actually shoved upon his head. Cat of nine tails across his back. Thank God, Jesus bought the plan. Amen. Jesus bought the plan. Amen. So God thought up a plan for salvation because, hey, listen, he knew that you, and me needed a plan someday to ask Christ in our heart to save us. Thank God that happened to me back in 1959 as just a nine-year-old boy. And I thank God I got saved, listen, at a young age. I thank God I didn't have to ever worry about what drugs was all about. I know all about them. I used to work in a boys' home where they dealt with all that stuff all the time, but I don't know anything about it. Thank God I don't know anything about a drinker's life either. I praise God I don't have them problems thinking back on these things. I thank God I never had the experience with tobacco or anything else like that. Now, you're a perfect guy, aren't you? No, I'm a long ways from it. That's why I needed to be saved, though. Amen. And so I thank God for these things. So God thought of a plan, and Jesus bought the plan. Amen. But listen, let me tell you something. That's not always a kosher thing with one person I'm particularly thinking about, and that's the devil himself. You know, the devil fought the plan. He fought it. He did not want it to happen. He was totally against what God had going for mankind. And so he fought this plan. Listen, can I illustrate that again to you, how that worked on me? I wanted to get saved, but I had a brother and a sister that would not let me out. Can I tell you why they wouldn't let me out? The devil didn't want me to be saved. The devil did not ever want me to be saved. And so he had a plan. But bless God, God worked it out, like I told you, amen? He worked it out for me to be saved. Listen, I want to talk a little bit about him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, I know you know the verse, it says, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so let me tell you just a little bit about that verse. It's always intrigued me. One word in that verse has always intrigued me. But the devil as a roaring lion, he is not a roaring lion, amen. We got a lion who's the head of the tribe of Judah, amen. But it's not the devil, amen. But the devil has one word that really intrigues me is this right here. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about. That word walketh tells me one thing. He's not in a hurry to get to you, to get to me. He'll take his time, and he'll deliberately get us at the least amount of time when we don't expect him to be there, and he'll come get us. Can I illustrate it again to you like this right here? I remember one time we lived on a farm a little further south of Erie, a place called Mercer, Pennsylvania. And one Sunday morning I got up early and getting ready to go to church and everything, and I looked out the window from the kitchen, and I seen one of our little kittens. Was out by the field, right across the driveway, and he was jumping all over the field. This way, jumped over there, jumping all over the field. And he's trying to catch a mouse, see? That's what he was trying to catch. But he'd jumping all over, had all kinds of energy, but every time he could see, he got frustrated because he'd set up with no mouse in his mouth. And about that time, I got to watching, I got to laughing at him, and so all of a sudden, I seen Mama Cat coming across the driveway. And she walked over there and sat on the edge of that field. And as she sat there, pretty soon, little Junior, she saw Mama sitting there. Mama must have said something to him, because pretty soon he came over and sat right beside Mama. And he said, it's like he said this. It's like Mama said this. Now, son, if you sit still here a minute, I'll show you how to catch a mouse. And so she started out into the field, slowly, deliberately, putting each foot down in a perfect spot. And she got out in the field about 10 yards out in that field, and all of a sudden she sat down. Her head went this way. Her head went that way. Pretty soon her ears would turn, and her head would turn. All of a sudden she got the exact location where this mouse was. And she put one foot down. Put another foot down, deliberately, slowly, approaching that mouse in that field. All of a sudden, you saw that tail going back and forth, this way, that way. And all of a sudden, she started crouching way back slow, like this here, and she sat there for a minute. Boy, you could just see the expression on her, just about see the expression on her face. Then all of a sudden, boom, just like that, she jumps like this here, and she's on top of that mouse, and she's got the mouse in her mouth and brings it back out and throws it down at Junior's feet and says, "That's how you do it, son. That's how you do it right there." Junior picked it up and played with it until it died. You know, pretty soon he learned how to do it. But there's only one way for that mouse to catch or that cat to catch that mouse, that's slowly and deliberately until he gets really good, okay? But I said all that to say this to you. That's exactly how the devil works, slowly. It says so. He walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, brother, he's trying to devour you. And if you're not careful, he will. You know, you ever watch a lion on TV, how they go after the prey? You know, I see a whole herd of zebras out there. They know he's out there. They see him stalking out there slowly. And boy, they're all nervous. All the zebras are nervous. But the lion's just walking over there very, very slowly. Pretty soon the zebras put their heads down. They eat, look, bring their heads back up, quick, where's he at? And they get an eye on him again. They go to eating again. But you know what? If you know the devil's coming, get out of the way.
Amen.
If the devil's trying to get you out of church, you ought to get back to church. Amen.
Amen.
Get back where you belong. Amen. Get away from the devil. Don't give him a chance, because he will get to you if you let him. Be careful. Be careful about that old slew foot. You know, be careful about him. Because, hey, listen, God had the plan. And the Jesus bought the plan, and the devil, he fought the plan, that's for sure, like we just told you about. But bless God, the Holy Spirit brought the plan. He brought it to me. You know, there was a reason I was sitting out there with a troubled heart. Because I wanted to get right things right with God and make my provisions to be saved. Amen. And boy, what a wonderful time that's happened since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. I can't get over it. And I can't tell it enough. And I just get excited just thinking about what God has done for me. Amen. Bless God. It's not just God's plan, but Jesus, again, remember, he bought the plan. I like that. I like the fact that he paid for it. I also like the fact that the devil fights it too. But bless God, I look around here and I saw a lot of hands raised up. He's lost a lot of battles. Amen.
Amen.
But he's also winning a lot of battles also. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. So the Holy Spirit brought the plan. Bless God, one day as I'm sitting in that pew and I made my way up the aisle, bless God, I caught the plan. I asked Jesus Christ in my heart to save me. And the only reason today that I live for God like I do is because he made a difference in my heart one day. Because I caught that plan that was out there for me. And I praise God for that plan because it made a difference in my heart. Amen. It made me to the point where I wanted to live the best that I possibly could and live for God every day of my life that I can. You know when I can feel the devil kind of closing in on me, all I got to do is take a quick inventory of my life. You been reading your Bible? Not like I should, Lord. Yeah, you're giving the devil some room. Amen. That's what's happening. Not soul winning anymore. Why? I don't know why, but we should be. Amen. There's lost people out there, just like I was one day, just like you were one day. Bless God, somebody got you to come. Somebody got you to come. Listen, God thought the plan, Jesus bought the plan, the devil thought the plan, and the Holy Spirit brought the plan. Bless God, I caught the plan. But listen here, and all because of that, the preacher that was preaching for me, the reason I got saved was because he taught the plan. Amen. He taught the plan of salvation to me. I heard him preach it. And I got excited about what he was telling me about. And you know what? The next thing I know, I realize that in my heart and in my life, that's the same thing that I should do, is tell other people about Jesus Christ. You know, I went to Midwestern Baptist College, and I heard Dr. Malone preach many, many times. I loved him dearly, and I still do, and I wished he was still around because I loved him so much. But he preached so many times about Proverbs 11:30. Says, he that winneth souls is wise. And boy, if all this plan I'm just giving you, it just goes in a circle. You understand? Once a person gets saved, we can go back that God made a plan. And right down the cycle again we go. We ought to reproduce, amen?
Amen.
A Christian does not reproduce, and I kind of feel bad for, because there's something about it that God wants special for us, amen?
Yes.
And so the closer that we get to God, the more it means to us. Now listen, that's my salvation plan. My salvation, how it happened to me, amen? And I still get excited about it. It doesn't matter who I tell it to, but I'm going to tell you something this right now. There's somebody out there in the streets right now that needs to hear what happened to me one day. We had a preacher after Brother Vic was gone and moved down this way. And we had a preacher, and then I'd go out calling with him sometimes. And here's what he would do. He'd introduce me to these people I'd never met before. And we'd talk a little bit. And he said, "Hey," he says, "Brother, this is Brother Ken Devine. He's got a story he wants to tell you." I look at him, I said, "What story you want me to tell him?" I said, what do you mean, what story?" He said, "How you got saved?" I was glad to tell him that story. But see, that's a lot. Now, if you tell your story, what happened to you, you'd be surprised how many people would be willing to listen.
Oh, yes.
And how many people might come to hear the gospel being preached, amen? And how many people might get saved just because you've told the story, the plan that God made so long ago. It's a tremendous plan, amen? It's a plan that works. It's a plan that God made. It's a plan that we need to hang on to. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day again. Thank you for this message. And Lord, I thank you again for Brother Carter and all the sweet people here, Lord, at the church right here. And Lord, I pray you continue your blessings upon the Haines City here and the ministry they have here. And there's so many people here in this town that needs to be saved. And Lord, I pray that they'll see the light that these folks have here. And Lord, I pray that we'll shed the light out there that other people might.